share one with someone. But one more time, again in the book of Luke, chapter 8. In the book of Luke, chapter 8. In the book of Luke, chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 26. If you learn to read your Bible and then try to make a journey back to where it's all happening and be a spectator or just join in on what you read about, it'll help you a whole lot. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, "And they," talking about Jesus and those who were with him, "arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when Jesus went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils or demons or evil spirits long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode or neither lived in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer or allow them to enter into them. And he suffered them or allowed them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." In these verses of Scripture, we certainly find this kind of a lesson for tonight. What Jesus can do for you. What Jesus can do for you. As I said before, that when I read the Scriptures, the Lord being my helper, I try to go back to the place and the time in my own mind the best I can. And I get involved in that which is taking place, as if I were there, living in that time, and watching and listening to what's going on. And you talk about a wonderful time, folks, to be where Jesus is, to watch him work, to see what he can do for you and for me. For just a few moments this morning, I want you to consider with me what the Lord can do for you. Get your eyes on the Lord, not on things, not on tonight, after, not on tomorrow, but upon Jesus Christ, and see what he can do for you. First of all, I find in these Scriptures that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can change your life instantly. whoever you are, whatever your condition, spiritually, mentally, physically, whatever it might be, Jesus Christ can change your life this instant. Quicker than I can snap my fingers, He can do that for you. We find a man who lived in the land of the Gadarenes or in Gadara. He was living in the tombs or in the cemetery. He was filled with many evil spirits, demons, devils. They had such control upon him that he had no liberty to do what he desired, but only what they drove him to do. He was a man that lived in the cemeteries or among the dead, completely naked. No clothes. He would be heard day and night. According to one of the writers, they would hear him day and night as he would cry out because of the pain that he inflicted upon himself by cutting himself with sharp stones. He tormented himself. He inflicted pain upon himself. If you could just imagine what it would be like to be listening in the dark of the night and hearing the cry and the wail of a man in torment whose soul is tormenting him. A man who torments himself with the cutting and the inflicting of the wounds and the bleeding of the cuts that he inflicts upon himself. And to know that's that man. That's him again. This is his life. This is the way he's been living ever since I can remember him. And the cry and the thought of him coming down out of those tombs and knocking on your door would strike any heart with fear. Such a man lived in the days of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, he found out what Jesus Christ can do. For in an instant's time, in a moment's time, within one breath, Jesus had changed his life completely. When he met with Jesus, we find that Jesus Christ, by the power of God, had changed his life completely. From the wild, from the mad, from the maniac that he was, now we find him in verse 35, sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed. I'm sure that if you could have seen this man before he met Jesus, and if you could have just taken a little while to listen to him and to gaze upon his body and see what sin and what the devil actually can do to a human being without Jesus Christ. If you're here and saved tonight, can you remember what it was like before you were saved? Can you go back to that time? Can you go back to that experience? When you found yourself troubled within your soul,
And your mind began to roll, and things began to come into your mind and into your heart that you didn't understand, and you didn't quite know what was happening, but you became troubled all over
within and without. And then in an instant's time, as if one breath passed away, Jesus Christ came and changed your life completely. Remember how the burden was lifted away? Remember how the calmness arrived? Remember when the peace swept in and overwhelmed your soul? Then you can know what it was like for this man. In an instant's time, Jesus changed his life. And the next time you see him, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed, all of his nakedness covered, all of those ugly wounds covered. And now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus with peace in his heart, in his soul, and in his mind. He's sitting, he's resting. For the first time in who knows how long, this man found peace. There was no more crying. There was no more tormenting himself. Nor were there any more evil spirits within him to drive him to do the things in which he was doing. Jesus changed his life completely in an instant's time. You may be here tonight. Your heart may be hurting. Your soul may be aching. And your mind is confused, and it wants one thing one moment and something else the other. You may be saying, I wish I had Jesus, but I don't want him yet. And it may be troubling you. It may be driving you. But when you meet Jesus, he changes all of that instantly and completely. And all of the confusion is removed. And all the turmoil and the torment within your heart and soul will be swept away, and the love of God rushes in, filling you with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ can take a life that is nothing but shambles tonight and make something new. Jesus Christ can pick up the broken pieces in which you find your life shattered tonight and can make your life better than new. He not only puts the broken pieces together, but he gives you a life far better than the one you ever knew. Jesus can do that. He's done it for me. He has done it for others. And I know that he can do it for you, even tonight. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. He's a new work of God. In other words, when a man finds himself in Jesus Christ, when he finds himself saved from his sins by the grace of God through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he finds himself a new creation, God making something out of nothing in that individual's life. The old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Can't you see this man as Jesus steps out of the boat? And this man comes down out of the tombs, and there he meets Jesus. And if I read it correctly, it takes a little while to get to it. But when Jesus sees him, he says, get out of him! Set him free! And in an instant's time, he's changed completely. He's a different person all over.
Wouldn't recognize him
from what he had been because what Jesus had made in this man. Jesus Christ can change your life tonight. He can change your life no matter how tattered, no matter how troubled, no matter how many problems, no matter how deep in sin you may be tonight, no matter how far away you may feel from God, Jesus Christ can change your life and save your soul tonight.
He can do it right now where you sit.
He can do it right now where you sit. When I was 25 years old, Jesus came to me and I met him. I'd heard about him from just a little boy on up. Preachers used to come to my house, and it seemed like they always had a habit of coming while I was watching my favorite Western program on TV. I'd be stretched out on that couch, my feet hanging off on the coffee table, and I'd see them coming. And I'd sit there for a while and let them knock. I didn't want them pestering me. But then something down deep inside said, they are interested. And I don't know of anybody else that is. But I'd go to the door and let him in. He'd come in. He called me Wayne. He said, just stop by to see you, Wayne. I knew what he was there for. I'd done put on my gloves. I was ready to guard. I was ready to defend myself. I never turned the television off. I'd sit there and I'd look. And he'd talk. And he kept telling me the same story every time he came. He said, Wayne, don't you see your need for the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't you think it's about time that you did something about your soul's need? Don't you see that what you have now is nothing and that Jesus can give you something worth living for? And I'd watch that TV and I'd wait. He's almost finished. And then when he'd get through, I'd look at him and give him the same answer. Well, not today. Not today. I'm just not ready. I'm not ready. He'd bow his head and he'd say, would you mind if I prayed with you and prayed for you? Don't mind a bit. He'd pray and then he'd leave. But you know, things began to bother me and trouble me. I didn't know what it was all about. But I began to take a look at my life. And I began to take a look at how that I must appear unto God. And I began to think about what it was going to be like if I died in that condition and have to stand before God like that. And I began to be afraid. I mean, I became so afraid that I didn't want to go to bed at night and close my eyes and go to sleep. I was afraid that I'd die and wake up in the presence of the Almighty Judge, God. And when I woke up in the morning, I was, oh my word, it's another day. And I'm still going to have to face this same kind of life. And I'd go to work afraid. And it got to the place and I couldn't hardly think of anything else. I'd get so scared when anybody talked about the Lord coming or the world coming to an end. I'd just jump in the car, put my family in it, and drive off somewhere as if I could run from God. But one night in Evansville, Indiana, a preacher came to tell me about Jesus. I'd heard about him before, but I met him that night. And before that young preacher even knew what God had done, God had already changed my life. He'd already saved my soul, cleansed me of my sins, and made me whole before anybody else knew it. But I knew it. I knew what happened because I was there. And it never has been the same since. To have the peace and the assurance that I belong to Jesus and He belongs to me. That happened instantly, folks. That happened when I met Jesus. Secondly, not only can the Lord Jesus Christ change your life or transform your life instantly and completely, but He can drive out the darkness with His light. He can drive out the darkness with His light. There may be those in this room tonight whose hearts and minds are filled with that which is almost utter darkness. But it's hard for you to see any light anywhere. Even God's children get like that sometimes. When trouble and sorrow keeps rolling in, and when things don't go the way they ought to, and when you think that you're almost defeated, that's when the things get the darkest in our lives. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ can drive out the darkness with His light. This man loved the darkness. He loved the dreariness. He loved to live among the dead. But when he met Jesus, you not only find him sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed, but you find him in his right mind. I tell you what tonight, folks. There may be so many here tonight that say, Brother Hall, I wish I could find that kind of mind tonight. You know what a right mind is? It's something that we weren't born with. Did you know that? We talk about, you know, people being normal. We were born abnormal. We were born with abnormal minds, depraved, confused, and full of darkness. We were born with a heart that is deceitful above all else and all other things. Normal? Certainly not. You know when you find this man to be normal? When he met Jesus Christ. When he changed his life completely. When he cleansed him of his sins and those evil spirits, you find him sitting at the feet of Jesus, fully clothed and in his right mind, he could think straight. Those fears that I had before I was saved, when Jesus came in, he drove them out. I've never been afraid to lay my head down and go to sleep since. I've never been afraid to wake up in the morning and face a new day. Because Jesus drove out the darkness. He gave me a right mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says that God has not given us, those of us who are saved, He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. A sound mind. A mind that can think soundly. You know why I can stand up here now and open the Scriptures and preach them to you? God gave me a mind to be able to do that. I didn't have it before I was saved. I'd look at the Bible and I'd think, man, I've never seen such a mess. I don't get any of it. But after I was saved, I began to read it. And I kept on reading it. And I can remember at work, I'd take my Bible to work, and when break time come, I'd find me a place and I'd sit down and I'd read. When lunchtime came, I'd find me a place to eat my lunch and read. When the afternoon break got there, I'd find me a place and I'd read. And I can remember reading there in the book of Psalms and in the book of Samuel when David was on his journeys and going through his troubles, and I was there with him. I ran with him. I hid in the caves with him. I laid out there in the mountains and talked to God with him. Couldn't do that before. Didn't have enough mind to do so. But God gave me a sound mind. He drove out the darkness with His own holy light. And I'm telling you that Jesus Christ can find you tonight in your darkest hour. He can find you in your darkest times. He knows where you're at, and He can drive the darkness away with His light. And when Jesus comes, the light is there. You'll not have to walk in darkness anymore, folks, and be afraid when Jesus comes to you. The light drives the darkness away. Think about it tonight. Now listen to me very carefully. A whole lot of, or probably most of our problems and troubles come from what we're thinking. Think about what you always think about. Listen, you don't find it too hard to think wrong, do you? You can think terrible things very easily. They come naturally. The evil thoughts come naturally. The evil feelings come naturally. But not the spiritual, and not that which is holy and from the light of God. That only comes from God. But Jesus Christ can drive out that darkness with His light. He can bring you or deliver you out of your captivity tonight. You may be imprisoned by a confused mind. You may be imprisoned tonight by your feelings, by your heartaches and your sorrows and your problems. But Jesus Christ can deliver you from all of those things tonight, as He did for this man. You may look out there tonight and you say, "Brother Hall, I see no way out. It must be pretty dark where you're at." But if you just keep looking, you'll see that there is a light that's always shining. If we were to turn these lights out tonight, these artificial lights out tonight in this building, you'd say, "Man, it's dark." Oh, but the light's always shining. Because Jesus said, "I am the light." He's always shining. He's always shining. He's always there. It's never dark where Jesus is. And you don't have to walk in darkness if you walk in the light of God through Jesus Christ as your Savior. I think about the ex-thief on the cross next to Jesus. If you think about that ex-thief on the cross, no doubt that was his darkest hour of his life. That was the last hours of his life on this earth. And they were the darkest. But in the darkest hours of his life, Jesus was there. And out of the darkness, we hear this man cry, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And then we hear Jesus speak, "Today, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In the darkest hour, Jesus was there. saved him from his sins. Third and lastly, when you think about what Jesus Christ can do, folks, for you, He can give you something worth talking about. You know what I've been talking about this evening? I've been talking about something worth talking about. I've been telling you something worth telling. Before God saved me from my sins, before He changed me completely in that instance of salvation, all I did was talk foolishly. I mean, I could talk with the roughest. And I could be one of the meanest, mouthiest fellows you ever knew. That group that I worked with, I suppose they probably hated me as much as they hated anybody because I was a smart aleck. I was a rebel. I was a loner. I didn't care whether anybody liked me because I never did figure anybody loved me. Never knew what it was until Jesus saved me. And when He saved me, I went back to work and I had something worth talking about. It scared them because they didn't really know what I was up to. They thought, what in the world is he doing now? What's he pulling? Man, I wasn't pulling anything. I met up with Jesus Christ. And they found me to be the kindest, the most courteous, the most helpful fellow that they ever saw. And they knew that wasn't Parvin Hall. No, it was Jesus living in me. And it wasn't long that the more I talked, the more they saw Jesus, the more they recognized Him. When one of them would get in trouble, or when some of their family would get sick, they'd look me up. They knew they'd find me over in a corner somewhere reading the Word of God. That's about the only time they ever come down and sit very long, but they'd come and sit and they'd say, I've got a sister. I've got a brother. I've got a son or daughter that's very sick, and I'd like to ask you to pray for them. Man, I had something worth talking about. I had something worth talking about. And when it came break time, sometimes I'd just take off walking and I'd go up and down the line there at those men and I'd just tell them about Jesus. I'd just tell them what the Lord had done for me. Not on company time, but on my free time. I'd tell them about the Lord. And I can remember a union steward coming to me one day and he says, Parvin, he says, Hall, he says, I can get you about 8 hours overtime. They worked somebody and didn't ask you. So sign it. I said, I'm not going to sign that thing. I wouldn't have worked if they'd asked me. He says, are you crazy? I said, no. I said, I've been saved and my life has changed. He said, oh. And he walked off. About 2 weeks later, he came back and he says, hey, Hall. He says, guess what happened? He said, the Lord saved me last night. Now I know what you were talking about. And just a few days later, another fellow came running. Hey, guess what happened? The Lord saved me. And pretty soon, lives began to change and folks began to get saved. I've got something worth talking about. How about you? Jesus Christ can give you something to talk about. In verses 38 and 39, and we'll come to a close. In Luke 8, verses 38 and 39, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. What things God has done to thee, not just for you, but what he's done to you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I remember that first day I came home from work. We sat down at the supper table. My wife and children gathered around. Man, they were ready to dig in. I said, wait a minute. I said, we're going to ask the Lord to bless this food, thank Him for it. They got about the same idea and the fear those other folks got. But they got over it because we've been doing it ever since. I gathered my children together not too long ago as a family. I gathered them all together. They didn't know what I was going to say or what I was going to do. But they gathered around, and I got my Bible, and I said, I don't have any money to give you or to leave you. I don't have many worldly possessions to share with you, but there's one thing I've got that I want to give you right now and share with you, so if anything ever happens, you'll always have it. I said, I want to give you the Word of God. And I began to read and began to tell them all over again about Jesus. When He saved me, He gave me something worth talking about. He gave me something worth telling. And this old world needs some good news tonight. And if you've been saved, and if God has changed your life, you've got something worth telling. And we ought to be telling it. We ought to be talking about it with others that they might know. It might be that even tonight, as you said here, the Lord has saved you. He's turned you around, cleansed you of your sins, made you whole again, and now you've got something to tell us. You've got something worth telling. You've got something worth talking about tonight. You can't hide it. When the Lord saves you, folks, you can't hide it. He's going to come out somewhere. He's bigger than you are, and He's going to show up in your life. But if you're here and saved tonight, why don't you just come out and tell us about it and let us rejoice with you? If you're here tonight and you say, I'd like to be saved, Brother Hall, then why don't you come just express yourself? We'll pray with you, pray for you. You never know what God will do to you when you meet up with Jesus. Don't be afraid to cry out to Him tonight. If you're here and saved, why don't you be right with Him? Why can't you enjoy Him like you want to? By just drawing nigh to God, knowing He'll draw nigh to you. This man met Jesus. He came to Jesus. And you can too. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Would you come tonight just as you are? Would you come just as you are? Because I know what He's done to me, He can surely do to you. As we stand and as we sing,